Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Adi Oladipo here. Thank you so much for downloading Fight Night Extra. Remember, we're here every single Tuesday live on TalkSport 2, myself and the great Gareth A. Davis. If you can't join us live, remember to subscribe to the Fight Night podcast channel. So much other great content there as well, such as Fight Night, Fight of My Life, and even the Mike Tyson story, The Boy from Brownsville.
This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
If you love your boxing and your MMA, this is the show for you. Fight Night Extra with myself, Adi Oladipo, and the great Gareth A. Davis, where we discuss all the latest from the world of combat sports. Today, we're going to be talking about the biggest fight in women's boxing, a rematch between Katie Taylor and Amanda Serrano. Serrano's win over Erica Cruz confirmed a rubber match between the pair, and it has been confirmed that it will take place in Dublin for the first time in Taylor's professional career. But will it take place at Croke Park, as Eddie Hearn promised? There has been a breakdown in negotiations between Hearn and the Irish authorities about using the 80,000-seater stadium. We're going to be speaking to Gavin Casey of the 4-2 IE about the negotiations and also the significance of Taylor having a homecoming fight in Dublin. We're also going to be talking some UFC. The Mac is back. Conor McGregor's return to the Octagon has been confirmed. He's been lined up as a coach for the new season of The Ultimate Fighter alongside Michael Chandler. Plus, we'll hear from Joe Joyce and look ahead to our live coverage of Adam Aziz versus Santos Reyes this weekend. Busy show as always. Look, don't go anywhere. This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
She is now the undisputed featherweight champion of the world, La Gran Campeón, Puertorriqueña, Amanda.
This rematch after one of the best fights we've ever seen on April the 30th in the Garden last year. The rematch between Katie Taylor and Amanda Serrano is on. May the 20th in Ireland.
We just confirmed the coaches for season 31 of The Ultimate Fighter. Conor McGregor and Michael Chandler will go head-to-head as the coaches of The Ultimate Fighter, Team McGregor versus Team Chandler. Then, at the end of the season, McGregor and Chandler will fight. I do not have a date or a location for that, but we will announce it soon.
Gareth, let's start with the two undisputed fights on the weekend. Let's start with Amanda Serrano first in that war with Erica Cruz. I think a couple of the judges had it 98-92. I thought it was a lot closer. I always feel like it's disrespectful to Erica Cruz. I had it very close, maybe 96-94. I thought it was only maybe a round in it at times. But Serrano does get the win. I mean, it does secure her that big fight again against Katie Taylor. Before we talk about the fight with Taylor, what did you make of Serrano's performance on the weekend?
I thought it was woman. I want to say workmanlike. So I want to say workwomanlike. she did all the right things. She was always ahead in the fight. I agree with you. It was closer than perhaps many of us, including myself, had predicted. I thought Serrano might well get a stoppage in this fight. But I think she had it in the bag, in a sense. Maybe overconfidence here against Cruz, who'd only knocked out three of her 15 victims in the ring, and we knew she wasn't a power puncher. But I tell you what, when a woman is up for an undisputed title, she is up for it. And Cruz was truly up for it. She was a great foil for Serrano. Serrano's been around a long time now, and I think both her and Katie Taylor probably haven't got that long left, Addy. But again, she's a brilliant professional. And they all have little dips. Cruz was a difficult opponent. But I tell you what, these women, these two stylists, And more of the women will stand in front of each other and just absolutely bang. And I think we saw that with the other undisputed fight on Saturday night as well, which you're going to mention in a minute.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because, look, I think me and you have both said, look, let's change how we see, or maybe we have. I feel like I'm starting to change my mind, and maybe you as well, in terms of it being 10 2-minute rounds. We said, okay, why not make it sort of 10 3-minute rounds or 12 twos, or even, I dare say, 12 threes. There's something about the 10 twos which makes me feel like they can go at the pace that we've seen Serrano and Katie Taylor and her fights go at as well, that we won't see if it gets to 12 twos or 10 threes. I feel like those 2-minute rounds, they can have a burst like we don't see in men's boxing. So maybe there's an argument that it stays that way. And I know, look, some championship fights deserve the extra championship rounds, but I do feel like maybe the quality will start to lack if it does go the extra, whether it be an extra 4 minutes or 6 minutes.
I think I'm a 12 twos advocate myself.
Yeah.
I think
okay, that's fair.
10 twos give us plenty of action. I think 12 twos will give us a much more resolution in a fight and maybe a conclusive ending. But I mean, we might have had that in both of those fights as well. We might have had a conclusion. But 10 twos now, I think they're getting to the point where they're evolving. It needs medical science. It needs the next report done. The last report that created those numbers, 10 twos, was 2013 by the WBC. So we need someone to come forward and do an advancement in the medical science on women's physiology and physicality. I really am an advocate that in the next 24 months that we should have 12 twos, certainly for world championship fights, Eddie.
Yeah, look, it's something that could happen. And you're right, in both of those fights, you're thinking, if there is a couple more rounds, then it's conclusive. It maybe doesn't go to points. Maybe you do get to see more stoppages. And that's something that people have been craving in female boxing that we don't see enough of. Before we talk about where it could happen, I think we've got to point to Alicia Baumgardner as well, becoming undisputed, beating Mekeled, who filled in for Choi, if you like, going down twice at Mekeled, but she braved it out. And in the end, it was very, very close between those two as well. It was the knockdowns that secured Baumgardner the win. Now, I've said we've seen sort of obviously in the last 18 months, the rise of female boxing. And I don't think anyone's stock has risen as much as Baumgardner in the last year and a half. Like, she's come from nowhere to now become undisputed. The big win over Terry Harper, the big win over Michaela Meyer, a very beautiful woman as well. Fantastic boxer. She seems to have everything to become, and she already is, but even more big of a superstar than she's already.
Yeah, well, she is. And I want to hear you say one of the men on our show we talk about is beautiful as well tonight. And some of them really are, because we have to give equal praise to women and men on our show, as you know. She is very beautiful. But she's all, yeah, just teasing you there. What I like about her, which I didn't like in this contest, and I'll tell you why in a minute, is that she suddenly thinks she's Mike Tyson. Yeah, and I want to see her work a little bit more with the jab, actually work with the jab, which she was very effective with against Michaela Meyer, and in and out more. Her movement's brilliant, but I think there were... she seemed to spring in and attack Mekeled and then move out in this fight. Listen, I think she won the bout. There's no question about that. But I want to see her... I think she's good enough to stand in range and trade and move in and out. But there was something about this performance from her that was disappointing for me, because I think she thought she was going to knock her out, you know. And Mekeled had gone to 10 rounds before with Delphine Passoon, and that should have been a marker for her, in my view.
Yeah, she's got very right-hand happy. It does remind me a bit of, and it's probably a silly comparison, but Gervonta Davis, who used to box and now just relies on that one shot just to clean you out. And I feel like Baumgardner's known as sort of the puncher in the division, one of the punchers in female boxing. And I think she's now got a bit too happy with that tag rather than just boxing. She's a beautiful boxer. Just box. But look, she's now undisputed and it's going to be big fights for her next as well. I mean, her name has been linked with Serrano and Taylor and the rematch with Michaela Meyer. So there's big money fights for her in 2023. Back to Serrano Taylor. Obviously, look, we saw Taylor get in the ring and all of them had their belts and it felt like there was 100 belts in the ring, right? Two undisputeds going at each other. I do feel, though, that some people don't realise that Serrano is jumping up two weight classes to do this.
Yeah,
it's something that I don't think is discussed enough. And there is a lot of talk about her coming to Dublin. And look, Matchroom have announced it's going to go to Dublin and look, we're going to get Gavin Casey and we're going to get your take on it as well. I mean, Serrano's doing a lot here, I think. She's gone up two weight classes. She's willing to go into what essentially is Katie Taylor's backyard. I feel like Serrano deserves a lot more credit than she's been given for taking this rematch. And it looks like she's taking it all on Katie Taylor's terms.
Well, look, she's not going to say no to it because it's such a big fight. And it's going to draw specialised. That fight they had in April last year at Madison Square Garden is a very special event.
Yeah.
Katie Taylor's not going to say no to her because even though someone like Tasha Jonas, who's probably a bigger puncher, is going to bring over the Irish contingent, the Liverpudlian contingent to Ireland, the one thing that Amanda Serrano's got is Most Valuable Promotions behind her, Jake Paul. And that brings a lot of sway as well, in my view, right now. And you look at the resonance of Jake Paul and Tommy Fury and Jake Paul and KSI and Jake Paul bringing eyes and a presence to that event. I think she's the right person. I think she put a dent in Katie Taylor in the way she fights. She's a brilliant southpaw stylist, a counter-punching stylist, So I think she's got a great chance in this fight. I'd really hope this is the fight that they make, that they just go for the balance of 12-2s. I don't think they will because Katie Taylor doesn't like it. But
she doesn't want it.
There's no
she
way.
Doesn't want it. Yeah.
They exactly doesn't want it. There's no way.
If she wanted it, it could happen.
No.
Yeah, if she said yes, so. It could happen. Her and Clarissa Shields, both of them come out and say, yep, we want it.
Absolutely. If Katie Taylor said yes, it would happen. Simple as that. But I'm happy to see those two fight again. We were both live there at that event, and it was an extraordinary event to be at last April.
Honestly, I mean, I've not been to many from a working standpoint, quite a lot as a fan. But from a working standpoint, nothing has beaten that for me. I that's why there's part of me that's I get the want to go to Croke Park, and I understand that it is a big homecoming and she deserves the homecoming. But as you say, that there was something very, very special about Madison Square Garden last year, April, where half of it is Irish, half of it is Puerto Rican. It's fair, right? It's 50-50. It's no one gets an advantage. And there's something about that. Obviously, I'm a big football fan, and I think of the FA Cup final when it's 50-50, it's split, it's neutral ground. And I almost feel like it's a bit unfair. Not like I get it, I understand the want, and you know, we'll talk a bit more about it with Gavin Casey, but I do feel like if not Croke Park, then that's it should be nowhere. Get back to Madison Square Garden, if not Croke Park. If you can do Croke Park, fine. If not, though, get back to MSG. Why not?
Well, I don't fully agree with that because... well, we're going to come to May the 20th. They've announced the date, haven't they? And there's a big discussion around that, obviously. And we're going to have that later on in the show. If you can't do it, I think they need to move the date, in my view. That's an issue here that we're going to talk about on tonight's show because it conflicts with the Heineken Cup final, doesn't it? It conflicts with, I think it's the Heineken Cup final. It certainly conflicts with some big events going on in Ireland. What I also think is there are several stadiums. There's the Aviva Stadium, there's Parnell Park, there's the Tulla Stadium. You could do an outside stadium where you can have perhaps big numbers, but the O3 Arena's 9,000 seats. I've been there for two Conor McGregor events or three Conor McGregor events where I was working TV, and I've been there for five or six Bellator events. It's a phenomenal arena for sound. The problem is, no, it's not to do with that. It's to do with you want a big gate and you want to make history and you want.
That's what I said. It's not big enough.
Yeah, it's not, but it's also not big enough for the gate because you need. They may not do 80,000 at Croke Park, but if they do 50 or 60, that's a big enough gate and it will bring bigger numbers to the promotion. Both women deserve, I think, $1 million, which they've earned before. So. It's a big talking point, but I don't like the way this the discussions around. I don't like the sounds from the Irish. I don't like the sounds from the Irish journalists, the Irish GAA, the Croke Park, from the Gardaí, from the costs of it all. There's a bit of self-entitlement around this, and let's not make bones about this. Katie Taylor's been frozen out of Ireland by the Irish authorities because of the Regency Hotel shooting those years ago. She's been frozen out and had to have her career outside Ireland because of events there that they haven't changed within Ireland.
Mm, No, you're right. And I'm happy that you've gone to that point. And it does feel like, look, this is arguably one of your biggest sporting heroes of all time. And everyone should be climbing sort of mountains to make sure it happens. And it feels like there's this roadblock being put up where it's like, do you want Katie Taylor to fight there or not? Like, what's going on?
Is she an icon or not, Addy?
Yeah, is she an icon or not?
Exactly. Yeah. And they keep calling her an icon, though, so let's prove it.
No, indeed. What would you make of Mystic Matt Conor McGregor saying, look, you know, I'm hearing it's a $500,000 difference, Eddie. I'll pay the $500,000.
He's exactly the kind of figure who's come. He's come up with exactly the right thing this week, which is, listen, I'll get involved and I'll be a co-promoter with you. I'll put up the extra money. You know, they're talking about, originally it was $400,000, the original agreement with Eddie Hearn to do the arena. Now they're talking about extra guardie, extra security, people to run the arena. And it's treble the cost now, I understand. And that's not in line with Wembley. It is extra cost. And do they want it there? Do the Irish authorities, do the government, do those really who have the knowledge and the power and the authority really want to celebrate this woman who, I'll be honest with you, should have fought in Ireland in 2014 when she could have fought Minnie Mouse and sold out Croke Park then. Because she was an icon then, and she waited too long. And I think we've 10 years since she won Olympic gold, 11 years since she won Olympic gold. It's too long, Addy. It's far too long.
No, it is. Honestly, I'm just thinking there. Imagine the idea of Conor McGregor getting involved, Jake Paul, Katie Taylor, Serrano, Eddie Hearn. I mean, you want something big in Ireland. I mean, you don't get bigger than Conor McGregor jumping on board with Katie Taylor.
Correct.
All we need now was Carl Frampton to say, like, somehow I'll get involved and do the face-off. Like, literally, it'd be the Irish Revolution. And that's kind of what we want for the sport. Very quickly, before we go to break, quick word on Joe Joyce. He's going to fight Zhang Zili next. A great opponent. I thought he beat Hrgović on the undercard of AJ Usyk. I know some will disagree, but I thought he did. So for me, he's fighting a guy coming off a career best win. And that just has carnage written all over it. Zhang's style favours Joe Joyce, but regardless, it's going to be like a 5-round shootout between these two.
I've chatted to Joe twice in the last week, and we're going to hear him tonight. And I'm just calling it 4 words. It's not chaos in Lagos, 3 words. I'm going up a word. I know you patented it. I'm calling this, because of the way these two fight, the bang with Zhang.
Oi, the bang with Zhang. Be careful that Queensbury don't nick that. I'm telling you, that's a good
one. They have.
Have they taken it already?
No, not quite. But they Zhang. Will.
I love that. That's quality. All right, you're listening to Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2. Still to come, we are going to hear, as Gareth said, from Joe Joyce after his fight with Zhang Zili was confirmed for April. We'll discuss a big title fight in the UFC this weekend as well, which is going under the radar. No one's talking about it. And we're going to discuss the return of Mystic Mac himself, Conor McGregor. But up next, we'll get the latest from Dublin as Eddie Hearn looks to secure a stadium fight for Katie Taylor's homecoming later this year.
Can't believe we're saying Katie Taylor will make her debut in Ireland. But on May the 20th, Katie came all the way here to New York last year to fight. And now Amanda is true to her word. She will come to Ireland on May the 20th for the biggest fight of the year, the epic rematch. These two, for the first time in a four-belt era, two reigning undisputed champions will face off against each other.
More than a dream come true, my debut in Ireland against the Amanda Serrano, the real deal Amanda Serrano. This is incredible, and as I said, the last fight was epic, and I expect nothing else for the next one.
Issue here is about security costs, which we felt that the promoter should carry. The amount of security that you'd need here would be at the top level. And that is not inexpensive. So I think maybe there's a worry that they wouldn't quite get the attendance and also the costs associated with hosting an event at a certain standard that we would be very proud that we would hold to. It's called a little bit of jitters.
Welcome back to Fight Night Extra. Myself, Addy Oladipo, and Gareth A. Davis. We were just talking about Amanda Serrano versus Katie Taylor, or Katie Taylor versus Amanda Serrano, and the hope that she does get a homecoming fight. And it feels weird to say this, considering that she's been professional boxing for just over 10 years now. But that's the one, for her to get the homecoming fight in Ireland, not just in any stadium, but at Croke Park, 80,000. A lot of people I speak to, whether it be people based in Ireland, people based all over the world, think that she can get and fill that 80,000. But as we know, in the last sort of 24, 48 hours, there have been a number of roadblocks that have been put up to the point where we now think it might not happen at Croke Park. Let's welcome in Gavin Casey, boxing writer for the 42.ie in Ireland. Gavin, again, really appreciate you coming on. Thank you very much. I guess with you and Gareth, we can hopefully fill some holes for listeners of the pod. What is going on at the moment? There does seem to be this standoff between the GAA and Eddie Hearn. What can you tell us?
Yeah, so Croke Park is the headquarters, if you like, of the GAA, which is the organization that looks after our native sports in Ireland, which would be Gaelic games, hurling and Gaelic football. Few people in the UK, if they're listening, may have stumbled upon them on Sky Sports a couple of times over the last few years. And I suppose it's important to establish a distinction as well here between the GAA and Croke Park, because the company with whom Eddie Hearn has been talking is Croke Park Limited. So yes, they are adjacent to the GAA and heavily involved in the GAA, but it's not actually the GAA as an association that is negotiating with Matchroom in this instance. It's the company of Croke Park, if you like. So they can essentially set prices, rental costs, etc. And Matchroom and Eddie Hearn have contended that those prices at the moment are too high. I mean, it just wouldn't make business sense to pay them. And as you outlined at the top, Addy, it looks as though Croke Park probably won't happen at this point.
And if I jump in there, if I jump in there, this May 20 date is the date that the Heineken Cup final is going on as well, which always draws massive interest from Ireland. I hasten to add, and I hate to add, Ireland are the number one rugby team in the world at the moment. They hammered us in Cardiff on Saturday, so I'm kind of carping from that. But the one thing that can happen, surely, is that they can move the date of the Katie Taylor fight. That's one thing that could happen, presumably. And it seems to me that Peter McKenna, who's the director of the stadium, in charge of the stadium, even though these costs seemingly have become prohibitive, from maybe 400,000 up to a million odd for Eddie Hearn and Matchroom, they could move the event to September, for goodness sake, or move it to a time when... That's what he seemed to be hinting last week, Gavin, that there's an opening later on in the year to have Katie Taylor there, if I heard him rightly.
Yeah, you're quite correct. I mean, the negotiations and the discussions around coming to Croke Park began last May. It goes back that far to the immediate aftermath of that magnificent night at Madison Square Garden between Katie Taylor and Amanda Serrano. And at that juncture, the preferred time from the GAA's perspective or Croke Park's perspective would be to stage it in the autumn. The reason for that is because the summer is quite a packed schedule for Croke Park, because you have national hurling and Gaelic football knockout stage games. We're talking quarterfinals, semifinals, finals, and even a couple before then as well, depending on whether Dublin are involved, etc. So it's just really difficult to find a date in that space of time. The end of May felt like a decent opportunity this time around. You want to strike while the iron is still at least warm, lukewarm probably at this point, where there's a little bit of momentum still behind the Taylor-Serrano rematch, whereas if you were to push it further on to September, at that point it becomes more than a year since they first fought. I think a complication on Matchroom's side of this is obviously they're in business with DAZN, and I know DAZN are very keen to get this fight slotted into the first year of their calendar. Obviously, they've issued dates yesterday, Monday, their slate for the next, 5-6 months. And I think it actually might be some aspect of accounting that I won't even get into, because I won't pretend to understand, where they wanted the Taylor-Serrano fight to be taken into account quite literally as happening in the first half of 2023. So they've probably lent on Matchroom a little bit to try and make sure it gets done by the end of May before you get into to June, say, or July. And I would say that Croke Park would have been more warm to the idea had the avenue been open to do it in September, as you say, Gareth. Now, of course, still conceivable that you could do it then. I guess because it's been discussed for so long, because you could argue maybe that Taylor would have to fight again in the interim, just the fact that September feels so far away from the moment.
At the Three Arena, maybe.
Yeah, well,
that's what I wonder might happen, you know?
Yeah, and like, you know, maybe something like the speed with which tickets are snapped up for the Three Arena might determine that Hearn and Matchroom and Brian Peters and whoever else do explore the avenue of Croke Park a little bit further down the line. I would say that a wrinkle in that equation then is the only way Amanda Serrano comes back for Croke Park in September is if she beats Katie Taylor at the Three Arena, right? So you don't want to be seen to
But, or they, yeah. they fight someone else at the Three Arena, both of them, or they set up a that's happened before, like a semi-final leading into a final. They're not averse to doing things like that. But it's a mess at the moment. Bottom line is it's a mess, isn't it?
It feels it. I think there were probably some discussions or tentative brainstorming, a little bit of tentative brainstorming going on to that effect, Gareth. As you say, maybe take somebody else to the Three Arena in the interim. It's a guaranteed sellout regardless. And then look to bring Serrano back in September. I guess just the fact that the Serrano thing is confirmed now. Look, nothing is sacred in boxing, not even contracts. But I guess if Serrano if Serrano is on board for it and she's signed for it, etc., maybe it's difficult to shift that now. And that's a question I'd love to ask Eddie and the people involved, the stakeholders in this. I think they're going to be doing a press conference in Dublin this week, and I'll certainly chat to them about it then. I guess it looks concrete now that it is going to be Serrano in May at the Three Arena, the 20th of May. By which point, if all goes to plan from Matchroom's side and Taylor's side, the opportunity to bring Serrano to Croke Park will be off the table, because Taylor, as an Irish sports fan and as, a, say, somebody who was working for Matchroom would hope, is 2-0 against Serrano. But I would say that no other opponent, no other prospective opponent of Taylor's would actually get near to selling out Croke Park. It's important to stress that...
It's just...
Sorry, Addy, yeah, come on.
No. It's just flat, isn't it? Like, and this is no disrespect to the Free Arena. I mean, that's a 9,000 capacity. When you've been selling people all year on Croke Park, 80,000, and then you're going to try and sell them. Okay, no. We're going to go to a 9,000 capacity Free Arena. I mean, fans are just going to feel like, okay, that's a big drop off for what we wanted. Especially when you think the first fight was one of the best fights I've ever seen, male or female. And as you said there, Gavin, it was hot then. It was hot, and everyone was like, wow. It's now become lukewarm to the point where you're like, you know, and I thought like the Croke Park thing would have been that buzz of, okay, here we go again. Whether or not she can sell 80,000 is another discussion, but it feels like the Free Arena and both of them. And by the way, if Katie Taylor were to take another opponent, and I've been watching Katie for a few years now, there's no certainty that Katie Taylor comes through another opponent, whether it be a Chantel Cameron or another name. Like, to roll the dice for Katie against someone else, this is the worst time for me to roll the dice with Katie Taylor. Amanda's fine. I think Amanda will get through opponents, but Katie, I'm not convinced about.
I think to both of you, aiming this at both of you, Tasha Jonas is a really good opponent to fight in Ireland as well, in my view, because you will get the travelling Liverpudlians and her travelling fans from the UK.
She's never then coming down 20 pounds. She's never doing that anymore.
She may not, but I do think she could be in the reckoning. More so than a Chantel Cameron. They do. Look, you said it at the top of the show, Addy, without getting into this too much, that Serrano's coming up a weight division and a half, basically, to fight Katie. She is a smaller woman. Style matchup is brilliant. It was a great first fight. Something sniffs wrong about this fight right now. Been around long enough that I'm really surprised they announced May the 20th. I really found the soundings from Peter McKenna odd at the end of last week. Gavin has his doubts, don't you, Gavin, about whether this plays out. We see wrinkles in boxing all the time, and we don't get the right results sometimes because it's not on a schedule. It's down to how much money can you make for Katie? I want to know this from Gavin as well at the end of this. How much of an icon really is Katie? Because I think it's 10 years have been wasted to getting her a big fight in Ireland. I know about the Regency, obviously the shootings and how that's affected things, but this is a stagnated process, and it feels like we're in a stagnant pond now in the way it's been announced. Something's not right with this, because I don't think they'll go to the Three Arena either. Because you're right, Addy, it's the wrong place for an icon if she really is that still in Ireland, Gavin.
Yeah, I can get to the her iconic status or lack thereof, but I suppose just to address the two venues here and what could have happened in between those, right? There is a massive drop-off, as you point out, between the 80,000 capacity Croke Park and the 9,000 capacity Three Arena. We do have other stadiums and venues in the country, naturally enough. The issue with a lot of those is that because for each of them, the rental fee would have been quite high, Matchroom would need to probably make the tickets more expensive than they would have been for Croke Park, in which case you're dicing with danger a little bit in terms of getting the numbers through the doors. And equally, the last 20 or 30,000 tickets that you might have been able to sell at Croke Park, it's say 30,000 bigger than the next biggest stadium in the country. Those were always going to be the cream. Those were going to be the tickets that allowed Matt Trim to make a profit, that might allow the fighters to make even more profit if they had that worked into their contract, the profit sharing sort of aspect to it. So there were sort of like logistical issues there. A lot of the smaller stadiums as well, GAA stadiums, it's not all cedar the way like Premier League stadiums are. Some of the stands are terraces, in which case you have to bring in temporary seating. That's an expense. It's a complication, and it reduces the capacity further. To answer your question, Gareth, about how big an icon Katie Taylor is in Ireland, I would say that she absolutely is an icon to the extent that she's a cultural figure who almost exists outside of sport to a degree. But what I would also say is that people in this country, and probably in other countries as well, can admire somebody from afar without being directly involved or directly emotionally invested in the journey, right? People can wake up on a Sunday night, or excuse me, Sunday morning, as has been the case for the majority of Taylor's big fights, and Google her fight result, but they might not have necessarily stayed up to watch it live on the Zone. I think there's a massive, almost universal appreciation for Katie Taylor in this country, but that doesn't necessarily equate to 80,000 people showing up for her on a given night.
Yeah.
And to stress, like, her popularity, there's an annual survey taken every year in Ireland, and for the last, I think, 7 years, definitely six, Katie Taylor has been, usually by a landslide, named as the most popular sports person in the country. So there is always that respect for her, but people don't necessarily vote with their feet. And in this country, we don't, like, it's important to sort of outline as well, there's 7 million people on the island of Ireland, right? In England, I guess it's 10 times that more, I'm not sure. But
you've got that in London.
Right, yeah. So it's a lot more, it's a lot easier, to be totally honest, to sell a stadium fight in England because there's just way more people, way more young people.
Can I add, and we haven't had a fight at Croke Park for 50 years. It was Alvin Lewis against Muhammad Ali. 50 years ago was the last time there was boxing at Croke Park.
Yeah, so that was 1972. Muhammad Ali was a pretty big name in Ireland at that stage, by the way.
Exactly.
And you know how many people showed up for that fight at Croke Park? About 20,000.
17,000?
Yeah,
20,000. Well, I remember I read the figures, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, half of those guards probably hopped the fence to get in. You know what I mean? So we don't have a massive tradition of fight attendance in this country. And that's where I think there would have been trepidation on Hearn's behalf, where he would have needed guarantees. This is why he wanted the government to subsidize elements of the event, like policing, the way they would with, say, an All-Ireland final in Gaelic Games. Because ultimately, if the ticket sales didn't go well, and that's not inconceivable, he's taking a bath on it. And as much as people have this impression of Eddie as being his old boss, which he is, strictly speaking, but, you know, this suave multimillionaire, why didn't he just forget the extra money? He is answerable to investors and things who want to be sure that money being used will almost guarantee returns. And I would say with Croke Park, there was less of a guarantee, obviously, than there would be for a Wembley or a Principality Stadium in your neck of the woods.
Gavin, just before we let you go, and again, really appreciate you coming on and just clearing a few things up. Hand on heart, do you think it happens? You think we get the Croke Park fight with Katie and Amanda?
No. No, I mean, that's the simple answer. I don't think we will. Yeah. To be totally honest with you, Adi, I feel as though Croke Park have never been especially besotted with the idea. I don't really know why that is. I'd imagine it's something to do with the fact that boxing events in this country have carried a little bit of a stigma since the Regency that Gareth mentioned. It's probably an unfair stigma in ways because there have been 12 professional boxing shows in Dublin since that, which have gone on without any trouble whatsoever. But it is one for, it's one where the general public who aren't fixated upon boxing, who aren't following it week on week, that will be a defining memory for them of boxing events staged in Dublin, for example. And maybe in some, I don't know, almost via osmosis, Croke Park have sort of cooled on the idea because it's in the back of the mind that there might be security risks and things like that. Things that I don't really believe exist, you know, at least to the same extent as they would have a few years ago. So I don't know that they've ever been fully invested in it. They don't need it. They don't need the money from it. They did 7 concerts last year at their asking price, and there will always be concert promoters who just pay up the way that Eddie Hearn simply won't at the moment. So from their side of this equation, they're probably thinking, we just don't need the hassle. We don't want to be haggling with this guy. We'll probably have 7 more concerts this year, and we won't even be thinking about a Katie Taylor fight. So I don't think the appetite is there on their behalf. And it looks as though Eddie Hearn isn't going to stump up the money to bring it there. I'm not sure the appetite was fully there on his behalf either. And it may be just one of those things that in the end didn't work out. I don't know if anybody is strictly to blame. It just isn't going to happen.
If I can just add to that, to add to what Gavin said as well, for the last couple of weeks, I've been kind of warmed up from people at Matchroom, sources at Matchroom, who wouldn't normally tell me these things that, ooh, we may not be going to Croke Park now because it's more expensive than we thought at the beginning. And when you hear Peter McKenna, the COO or the director of Croke Park, saying things like, look what happened at Wembley in the Baroness Casey report after the hooliganism. That was football, by the way. Nothing to do with boxing.
It's the same fans.
It's not the same fans. No,
football
it isn't.
Football and boxing fans are exactly the same fans.
They're not the same fans, Eddie. Football fans aren't. No, they're not.
They are.
And we can discuss this in the next section if you like.
There's a reason that you're Josh Warrington fans, your Lee Wood fans, they're football fans. They're all the same.
100%. I don't think they behave in the same, quite the same way as the Baroness Casey report into what happened at Wembley with the 2020.
No, maybe not that. I agree. Maybe they're not storming gates.
My point is that Peter McKenna's saying we're distancing ourselves from it a little bit. That was my point about it anyway.
Could I just add to that? If I could just add to that very briefly, like. I'll let you guys hash out whether football fans and boxing fans are the same clientele. I think in Ireland they certainly would be, because we don't actually have a massive boxing community. Now, I don't think it was going to be 80,000 football fans attending a Katie Taylor fight. Also, if it was, I think that would be fine. I mean, I thought it was a bit of a tenuous link that he was making, in the sense that we have soccer matches in Dublin all the time. Our national football team play there. There's never any trouble when 50,000 people go to the Aviva Stadium. So, again, I think a little bit of psychology going on there, trying to create the public perception of the potential of trouble, which to my mind was a little bit far-fetched, but it was just his means of distancing himself from the event and just planting seeds of doubt in the public. What you have to take into consideration as well is when somebody speaks on behalf of Croke Park in this instance, or somebody who is involved in Gaelic games in this country, they're going to be inherently more trustworthy than a boxing promoter is, right? So he won the PR battle by simply not being Eddie Hearn in this instance.
Gavin, again, dude, thank you so much for coming on. We've got to get you on more often, Gavin. I mean, we can't just get you on to talk controversial stuff. You clearly know your boxing. So appreciate you coming on. Gavin Casey there, boxing writer for 42.ie in Ireland. All right, you're listening to Final Extra on TalkSport 2. Still to come, we are going to chat some UFC massive lightweight title fight this weekend, plus a certain Conor McGregor who offered to pay the difference for Katie Taylor will be returning later this year. Next up, though, we are going to hear from the juggernaut Joe Joyce.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com. A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's get ready to rumble! Well, I've got good underrated footwork and stuff, and I've got great timing.
Left hand there, lads, rejoice! And Parker finally goes down!
This is what you call a proper slobber knocker. They are having it.
Parker has got back to his feet, but he waves it over.
I know what he's capable of doing. I know he's strong and so forth, but I was a little bit worried. But, I mean, he got that spot on, and his trainer got the tactics absolutely right.
War, they don't want a war with juggernaut, big juggernaut.
They ain't never seen a hook like Joyce's.
Never.
Made these heavyweights settle down their voices.
Down.
Me and juggernaut are stepping out of Royce's. Told them, but we got some other choices.
Hey.
Welcome back. You're listening to Final Extra on TalkSport 2. Adi Oladipo, the great Gareth A. Davis. Joe Joyce will be fighting Zhang Jili April 15th. We are going to hear from Joe in a couple of minutes. Gareth A. Davis spoke to him and caught up with the big man, the unbeaten big man as well. A lot of people think top three, top four heavyweight, wanting a world title shot by the end of the year. If he beats Zhang Jili, Gareth, I mean, there's no stopping him, right? I mean, right now, he almost has become the boogeyman of the heavyweight division. No one really wants to sign up and fight him, and credit to Zhang Jili for doing so.
It's a really tough fight, this, for both men. I thought Zheli Zhang did beat Filip Hrgović last year at the on the undercard of Alexander Usyk and Anthony Joshua 2. I thought he was very hard done by the judges not to win that. Look, he's 38, 39. He's a big old lummox. He's a southpaw. He's Joe Joyce is, I think you've got to admire him. He's doing what no one else is doing, which is facing everyone. There's no warm-ups for him, no tune-ups. And it's going to be the bang with Zhang. I'm telling you, it's going to... Joe, you'll hear it from Joe. He wants to fight the very best. He doesn't want to waste time. And, you know, as he says, the big thing for him is get through this guy. He's got all his eyes on him. He's with Ismael Salas in Vegas at the moment. And I'll let you tee it up, but I caught up with him in Vegas.
Yeah, you certainly did. Let's hear from Joe Joyce, who caught up with Gareth A. Davis. Isn't this what he had to say about the Zhang fight?
It's a risky fight because he has got a big bang. And especially the fight with Hrgović, I thought he won that fight. It was, you know, he was struggling towards the end, like, you know, blowing towards the end. But I thought he got the victory. He knocked him down early on and stuff. And I thought Hrgović was lucky to get the victory. So, it's a great fight to... Because, obviously, fighting Hrgović in the amateurs is quite a good story as well. And what better southpaw than a top 12 southpaw for the next fight?
Absolutely. And Adam and I were both there, actually, for that fight in Saudi Arabia, and we both thought that I think I'm right in saying that both Adam and I thought that Zhang won that fight. Does that fight with victory, are you told by George Warren, Frank Warren, lead you to face the winner of Alexander Usyk and Tyson Fury late in the year?
Yeah, while these kind of fights are all taking place around the same time, and then has an opening for a big summer fight, hopefully Fury, if he beats Usyk.
He's improving a lot, by the way, when it comes to media work. But, I mean, Joe Joyce right now, super confident, and rightly so, right? Coming off that, I think, career biggest win against Joseph Parker, and now he's following it up with another top 10, top 15 heavyweight fight.
Well, look, he's got the whole world eating out of his hands. He's got people saying he's got the best chin in the division. He wants to fight everyone. He's so popular. He's a lovely person. There's a documentary out about his mum, Marvelous Marvel, at the moment. Obviously, she's very partially sighted. She's a wonderful woman. Great story. Joe's a brilliant story. Fine artist. As I was haranguing him there, where are the art pieces I keep asking you for? Because I've offered to put on an exhibition for him in a place.
But
I need 8 to 10 pieces of work, and I'll buy a couple of them. These are the kind of things he should be doing to promote himself, Addy. He's got an incredible physique, great hands. He's got everything he needs. And as he said then, this is what I want your opinion on. He wants Tyson Fury to beat Alexander Usyk because that's the fight he wants after Zhang. What a fight that would offer British fans later in the year.
Honestly, wow. And just, it's weird how these big fights come along. Like for years, I thought that the big fights would always and have to include AJ. Like AJ has to be in these big fights for it to be stadium fights. All of a sudden, the emergence of Joe Joyce and Tyson Fury selling stadiums out. I mean, all of a sudden, there's more than just one big player in this division in the UK. There's loads. I want to quickly get your take on this, actually. You mentioned here that he's now, obviously has been with Ismael Salas for quite a while. How many, and maybe this is a big problem with sort of British trainers, and maybe you can correct me on this one, but there seems to be so many now UK fighters, top UK fighters as well, wanting to get with trainers abroad. You think of Lawrence Okolie's just announced Sugar Hill Stewart. I'm just
what
trying
a
to
matchup,
my head.
By the way.
Yeah, great match. No, great matchup. I agree.
What a
Dan
matchup.
Aziz, Buddy McGirt, Callum Smith, Buddy McGirt, Chris Eubank Jr., Roy Jones, AJ, Derek James, Tyson Fury, Sugar Hill Stewart, Joshua Boazzi, Virgil Hunter. But all of our top fighters are thinking there aren't the trainers here. We're going abroad. What would you make of that quickly?
I think
no one's doing the opposite. American fighters ain't coming here for trainers.
No, that is very true, actually. That's a really valid point. But they don't tend to look outside America a lot anyway. But I think, you know, look for a while, Freddie Roach was involved with Amir Khan. There's always Buddy McGirt's been involved with a few, like Dillian White. I just think that what we need to see is, I think people like change and they like America. They like the idea of going to America because there's always been that respect for the old American styles. And I think,
yeah.
I'm sorry. I like the matchup of Akoli. Ismael Salas.
Love it. I like all of them to an extent. It's just when you think of all our top fighters, like I'm talking the very best, all of them seem to have American trainers, and I was like, it's interesting. Like, no one seems to have a British trainer anymore.
It's a very good point. It's something I'm going to cogitate on. And I will.
If you do write a piece, can you say that? Can you tag me in the piece?
It will be called "From Chaos in Lagos to Why I Move Trainers." Bring on the Americans! Indeed.
Big announcement from DAZN. Obviously, AJ will fight Jermaine Franklin. That's now been confirmed. I think there's a press conference on Thursday for it. The big news, I think, is that it won't be on pay per view. Look. And I know people might say maybe it's not a pay-per-view fight, but AJ is a pay-per-view fighter, right? I mean, you see certain fighters in America. Javonte Davis is now a pay-per-view fighter, won't fight for free. Errol Spence, regardless of who they fight. And I've always felt that AJ was like that. And I think this is a great move from DAZN. It does surprise me, but I think it's a great move.
I think it is as well. And like I would say, listen, this is free to air. You can watch it wherever you want. Sorry, I pushed the water feature on here in this apartment with my foot just then. I couldn't know if you could hear it.
We wondered running what in was the going background. On.
Yeah. Sorry, I put my foot on it and the water feature started running in. Look, for me, if I was to zone, I'd go a step further. I'd say we're going to have it open broadcast and you can watch this event if you just sign on to DAZN for nothing for this. See him do a spectacular knockout and then get him to buy into the Dillian White fight in the summer. That's how you do it. Listen, we could debate this point back and forth, but I think he deserves, after 12 world title fights in a row, he deserves a fight with someone who is ranked 30-odd in the world. And it's no gimme, this, as well, given what Jermaine Franklin did against Dillian White. But I think he knocks him out in 5 or 6 rounds, in my view.
Yeah, look, if he doesn't, and I think Eddie Hearn said this, there's a major problem. And I agree. I think AJ needs to get it done. Pressure's on, but look, pressure creates diamonds. And let's hope AJ's still got a bit of diamond left. All right, you listen to Final Extra on TalkSport 2. Next up, we're going to get stuck into some MMA chat and chat about the return of the main man. Mystic Mac Conor McGregor is back.
Conor McGregor and Michael Chandler will go head-to-head as the coaches of The Ultimate Fighter, Team McGregor versus Team Chandler.
If there's one person on planet Earth that is going to annoy Chandler, that is going to get under his skin, that is going to poke the bear, that is Conor McGregor.
When you signed to fight me, it's a celebration. You ring back home, you ring your wife. Baby, we done it. We're rich, baby. Conor McGregor made us rich. Break out the red panties. We're rich, baby. So don't say you would not take that fight, because you would take that fight like everyone else up here would take the fight against me if it was offered.
Welcome back. You're listening to Final Extra on TalkSport 2. Adi Oladipo, the great Gareth A. Davis as well. The big news, and I've always felt that the UFC needs to announce some big news because it's been struggling recently with the numbers. I mean, the numbers don't lie, as they say. The big news, though, is that Conor McGregor is back. I can't tell you the last time that I've watched The Ultimate Fighter, but I will be watching this one because he's been named as a coach alongside, or opposite, sorry, Michael Chandler. And they too will fight later on this year. Dana White couldn't confirm a date or a location, but obviously they're going to get it on. That's what the coaches do. Your initial reaction about this one, Conor McGregor finally back and back on Tough as well. The last time he was on Tough, it was pretty good. I enjoyed it. He's back again.
Look, Series 31, I think it is. They needed this. I'd rather see McGregor's comeback be with the unmissable TV for 6 weeks around a Tough series and then him fighting, obviously, against Michael Chandler sometime, I believe it'll be late. It might even be in the autumn, you know.
Yeah, I'm thinking late September, maybe.
Yeah, but they're planning it. I was speaking to Adam Catterall about it on Saturday night on Fight Night Live on Saturday night, and we were talking about it being, he was mentioning he thinks it'll be Madison Square Garden late in the year. If it is, great. If it isn't, it doesn't matter, because whenever he fights Chandler, it's going to be unmissable. The rubberneckers, the MMA diehards. And but the great thing about McGregor is he's unmissable TV. He's going to cause so much drama with those. So look, I'm doing it now. Look, he'll be walking around the tough gym like this, rolling his shoulders, puffing his chest out, yeah, growing his beard back, smacking Chandler around. It'll be verbally, mentally, physically. It's going to be brilliant. They've needed him back for a long time, like they needed John Jones to go up to heavyweight 4 years ago, Addy.
Yeah, it seems like it's good, and I'm happy. I am very, very happy to see Conor back. But it feels like that, alongside John Jones, we spoke about John a couple of weeks ago, and I hope I'm wrong because he's my favorite fighter of all time. But it feels like this is all like 3-4 years too late. Like Conor, like I think Michael Chandler's going to absolutely annihilate Conor McGregor. I really do. I feel like the rest of Chandler's just not going to be good for him. But I'm happy it's happening. But I feel like I wish it happened a couple of years ago. I feel like Conor's been a part-time MMA fighter for the last 4 years.
Yeah.
And I feel like to go in there against someone rough and ready like Michael Chandler's, it's a tough one. Like he must have asked for Tony Ferguson. He must have. And they've given him Chandler. It's not going to be easy. But well done to Chandler as well. He's been in this game a long, long time. And I'm happy that he gets, as Conor would say, he's red panty night. He's going to get paid. He's going to get paid very, very well. Talking of greats, and like John Jones is a great. And look, Conor's a double champ. You have to give him greatness as well. Fedor, the last emperor, has finally called it quits. And you tweeted a fantastic photo. It really was. All the legends that I've grown up watching, Pride, and some have jumped over to Strikeforce and early days of UFC, to see that photo of all of them, I mean, that's the kind of thing that I think the UFC need to do that they don't do. And well done to Scott Coker in doing that photo, because that was fantastic. Good to see.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm trying to pull up the picture, actually, as we're talking, but Mark Coleman, the Shamrock.
Everyone.
Randy Couture, Josh Barnett, so many guys, Chael Sonnen, so many, but a real kind of real old
school. Hardest of the hardest.
Absolutely. And you know, I spent quite a lot of time around Fedor during, he is the greatest heavyweight ever in mixed martial arts. He's not the biggest man in the world. I've had some wonderful times with him.
That's a debate there. That's another show for a little debate.
It is another
there,
show,
but I
tell you.
I do think Fabrizio Verdum.
I wrote, yes, all these guys, but I wrote probably 9 articles about him in a Fighters Only magazine special when I was consultant editor of it a few years back. And I'll tell you now, they say never meet your heroes. I spent so much time about him. And I said a bit about this the other day on him on air. The most striking thing about Fedor, Eddie, in the flesh, up close and personal, is the stillness in him. An unbelievable stillness in the quiet man. And it creates an aura around him. It's like an awareness. And it has an effect on you. He glides when he walks. His head's still. Everything's deliberate. Like the air doesn't move as he passes through it. Like the silent destruction of so many of his opponents. I've worked and interviewed with so many of the great heavyweights of the present and the past in like 30 years of doing this. And I have to confess that Emelianenko is like no other fighter I've ever come across. He is truly special. Thank you and good night, Mr. Emelianenko.
Oh, fantastic. I almost feel sorry for the younger generation who didn't watch those days of Pride. I mean, don't get me wrong, UFC's been fantastic and Strikeforce and Bellator and ONE FC and et cetera, et cetera. But Pride was just sensational, honestly.
Yeah.
Seeing all the guys in there, I was watching the old Rampage versus Wanderlei fights. I mean, you can't get better than Pride. It was that special. So yeah, look, if you've not watched Fedor, just type in Fedor Pride and just treat yourself to some of the best fights you're ever going to see in mixed martial arts. One of those fights could be this weekend, and I'm upset. I'm upset a lot because the UFC, I think, are kings when it comes to promotion. I mean, they really do put money behind it, and it's fine. Where's the promotion for Volkanovski trying to go up from 145 to 155 and take on Makhachev, and we've heard nothing? Pin drops, crickets. This is happening this Saturday. Early hours of Sunday morning, apologies, and no one's talking about it. It's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's something, I mean, there's an argument, isn't there, within the UFC, certainly from a lot of observers on the UFC, that he is arguably the pound-for-pound number one in the entire roster at the moment. And
is it because he's not sexy? Like he's not a sexy pound for pound. Is that what it is?
Yeah. No, I think he's an Australian without Australian kind of like, you know, that kind
doesn't
of
doesn't have that swag, does he?
He's of what is he of Russian heritage or?
Yeah.
And he's a very contained man. He's a brilliant fighter. I mean, he's not the most exciting fighter, but he's probably one of the most complete fighters you'll see. He's like a prototype of the greatest kind of all-round skill set you could have. If you wanted to create yourself into something, he's got it all. Power, strength, chin, stamina. He has mastered every style. He's fought every style. But there's a... I don't want to say there's an X factor missing from him, but, you know... I think the UFC...
No, there is.
Yeah, maybe there is. Yeah,
there is. 100% is that X factor missing. And I feel like that's why Dane has not got... he's not really got behind him. He doesn't do big pay-per-view numbers.
Yeah.
He doesn't put bombs on seats. And I feel like the UFC have decided, yeah, let's not invest in this. Let's not invest in it. It's a shame because he might become... Look, Makhachev's fantastic, but he might become double champ.
Yeah.
He might become... again, an all-time great if he wins on Saturday, and they've decided to not really care about it. I almost feel like every time he's fought Max, Dana's secretly hoping that Max gets the job done, or Ortega gets the job done, or anyone gets a Korean zombie. And every time he beats them, Dana's like, God damn it. And now it's like, okay, give him Makhachev. He ain't going to do that. If he does Makhachev on the weekend, Dana's going to have a mini heart attack, I'm telling you. Honestly, I'm telling you. He might give up the slap league, which I hope he does, if he wins on the weekend. All right, literally got a minute left. Adam Azim's fighting on the weekend. TalkSport will be covering it. He takes on Santos Reyes. He's the next big thing. Boxer really putting their promotional sort of machine behind him, and rightly so. He's got a bit of everything, hasn't he? 7 fights, 7 wins, 6 knockouts. He's flashy, he's good looking. He can skip rope better than any man can skip rope. He can do everything. Talk to me about him very quickly.
Well, he's a 10-stone fighter. He's the 140-pound division, the weight division that Ricky Hatton was brilliant in for so long, and Amir Khan as well. Santos Reyes de Managua, Nicaragua. And he's 12-0. He's fought pretty much in Managua for his entire career. It's a good little test. It was not a full test from Adam Azim. We probably won't get that for another 6 months, but he's headlining. He carries the pressure very well. We're there live for TalkSport. Myself, Adam Catterall, hopefully you'll pop in as well. Andy Clark, Spencer Oliver, giving it our best. Can't wait for Saturday night, Adi.
Wait, is it this Saturday? Can I get a ticket then? I ain't doing anything. Can I get a ticket?
Of course you can. You can even cut. I'll even, when I do my ringside run around for an hour, I'll even get you on and we'll have a little cuddle because I think I've upset you today.
That's it for this week. Thank you so much for downloading our Fight Night Extra. Remember, we're back every single Tuesday for more great content. And if you miss us, make sure you subscribe to Fight Night to catch up on all our other episodes.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.